My name is Ash Valentine. I'm a graduating senior and Roger Ebert Fellow at the University of Illinois studying English Lit. And my first introduction to Star Wars was actually when I moved to the States from Bombay at age 7. And the Star Wars 4, 5, 6 box set were like some of the first movies I saw.
My name is Shalane Puglia. I'm a graduating senior, just like Ash, from the University of Illinois and a Roger Ebert Fellow. Ash and I saw the opening night 7 p.m. show at AMC Block 37 in Chicago.
My name is Ryan White. I'm an Ebert Fellow and a graduating senior. I saw The Force Awakens in downtown San Diego.
My first introduction to Star Wars was actually when we first moved to the States from India when I was 7. And my family just got the whole Star Wars 4, 5, 6 box set to watch, like, just as an intro to American movies, because everyone we met kept talking about it and making Force references, and we were like, what is that? And so we finally saw 4, 5, 6, and they were amazing.
My earliest introduction to Star Wars is actually from my uncle. It's kind of been passed down generations through my family, where I remember my uncle having this curio cabinet of action figures and the Lego Death Star that were like his prized possessions, and my cousins and I weren't allowed to even look at them too hard or touch them or really play with them at all. And I mean, you can't really know my family without having any knowledge of the Star Wars phenomenon.
I had a little bit of a different experience from both of you. Didn't come from a Star Wars background at all. The closest I got was, I think, seeing the Family Guy Blue Harvest special on TV. And I think I saw one of the prequels when I was really little, but we only saw it because my sister knew I didn't want to see it, so I really wasn't that excited to go watch it. But yeah, I watched the episode 4 a few weeks ago, so I was coming at it like that. But other than that, no real roots, no family interest until last night.
I will finish what you started.
There are stories about what happened.
It's true. All of it.
Yeah, so the narrative basically was kind of like a rehashing of 4, honestly, with like just the different characters kind of subbing in for the same roles they played in the 4th. It was kind of nice, though, because they introduced a pair of pretty strong leads that I think can take the series in a new direction. There are Daisy Ridley and John Boyega playing Rey and Finn, respectively. Rey is like the new kind of Jedi figure, and then John Boyega's Finn is like a kind of a stormtrooper that's conflicted and turns to the other side.
I mean, I came from it actually watching episode 4 yesterday morning and then watched the new Force Awakens that night, and it was definitely harkening back to that old sentiment, the old feeling, and I thought it was interesting because I feel like they needed to do something like that to get the generation that really knows nothing about that film back on track and, like, I guess, reawakened to it.
As somebody that doesn't really know a lot of the background, I felt like it definitely did the subtle references. I knew what was going on the whole time, but I liked that it wasn't too much like, you know, the exact old storyline. So I knew what was going on. It could stand alone. That the characters were really fresh, really interesting, something that would have never happened, I think, in the 1977 film. And I thought it was great.
We were definitely talking about this a little last night, where like there's the old humor and there's this new kind of like modern, awkward, ironic humor that's going on. A lot of times I feel like the film was almost making fun of itself, playing with certain conventions that people have to kind of suspend their disbelief for when they're watching a Star Wars movie. Like in the beginning, there's a scene where John Boyega's Finn takes off his helmet inside the ship. And then this, like, bounty hunter shows up and he's like, well, why is your helmet off?
In the original film, they're just so rigid and so, you know, uniform and all the same. And they gave it a personality, you know. One of the first scenes when he wipes the blood across Finn's helmet, it's like, oh, you're a person, you bleed, you know?
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting addition, a new take on something that was really rooted in what had happened before.
Yeah, it's cool. It kind of plays with the convention, because definitely in 4, 5, 6, the stormtroopers were supposed to be this kind of like fascist uniform, like unpersonal entity. And so it was cool that the new movie started out with, like, kind of taking one of those stormtroopers and focusing on his moral dilemma.
I think that, like, our generation and most of the people watching this are going to connect, like we were saying, to the first end of this movie. And most of it is because they set it up in such a unique way, like talking about the stormtrooper who takes off his helmet and talking about Daisy Ridley's character, Rey, who I connected to, obviously, in the beginning. And they have such unique scenes. Like, there's one really elegant one where the music is lighter than it is in the rest of the film, and she's like sliding on this sand dune, and she's in Jakku, I believe, is where she's from and where she starts in. And it's just this moment of, like, she is the center focus of this piece that's, the rest of it is filled with so much static and so much detail that you're kind of wondering where to stick your eyes. But when you focus on her, it's an interesting juxtaposition to the rest of the film.
I came to it with high hopes, and for the first 45 minutes or so of the film, it looked like it was going to be very original. And then it slowly kind of slid into a blatant rehashing of Episode 4. I think part of that was a kind of fate commentary where they were intentionally having characters perform the same roles as they had in the fourth. Like, you had Han becoming basically a Kenobi figure, and you had Luke Skywalker becoming a Yoda figure. And even with the new Death Star, literally there was a scene where the original Death Star propped up on a hologram, and then they said, like, this is the new Death Star, and they popped up, and it was four times bigger, and everyone in the Rebel kind of command room was like, oh, man.
But you can still blow it up. That was the takeaway from that scene.
The Empire has got to stop building these massive death machines with obvious structural flaws. I don't know. I think it didn't really push the envelope enough for me to really appreciate it, though it was enjoyable to watch, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably go see it again. Mostly because the second half, like you said, it's just there was a lot going on and a lot to look at that I didn't, you know, you can't really get in one sitting. And I mean, I like to judge how much I appreciate a movie based on how much it takes me away from where I am. And I feel like a lot in the beginning of the film, like you said, the first 45 minutes, I was hooked. I was watching Rey. I was invested in what was going on. It was new. It harkened back to the old, but, you know, it gave me something to work with. And then the rest of it, the more that it played to the older episodes, the more I was taken off and, like, paying attention to the actual theater where I was and the comfy seat that I had the luxury of sitting in. And it's...
Yeah, that giant sushi.
Yeah, and the giant sushi rolls that they served. I ordered sushi at a movie theater in Quinoa for the first time. It was, like, an out-of-body experience. But I wanted to be invested in it the whole time, the same way I was when I saw the movies for the very first time. And I liked it. I didn't love it. I wanted to love it. So that's why I have an optimistic look for the future, but, you know, we'll see how that goes.
First of all, ordering sushi at a movie theater is very brave.
I'm still not sure how I feel about it.
I commend you. That's great. I loved it. I'm the type of person who probably 9 out of 10 times will fall asleep during a movie, whether it's good or not. I don't have the attention span for it, but I was hooked. I was on the edge of my seat. I was watching it the whole time. And everyone around me, a lot of clearly diehard Star Wars fans were very into it, loving it, loving every minute of it. So I don't know. I think it's like you said, there's a lot of promise for it, but I was still swept away with what we have to work with now.
I don't think there's any doubt that this is going to be part of pop culture for the next few years, and whether that's in commodity or people actually going to see the films, whether or not you liked it, you're going to see it because you have to be able to talk to people that you meet, and it's going to be as much as the originals were part of understanding the people around you. I feel like this is going to be that as well. And I mean, I think we're, at least Ash and I are of the opinion that this film was good. This film wasn't life-changing, but it's still, it just carries the weight of Star Wars, and I think the rest of them will as well.
Yeah, it does. I agree with you. I think I'm kind of ambivalent about it. At this point, Star Wars is becoming almost like the James Bond franchise, where there are all these sort of preset narrative rules the movie has to keep following. I think a lot of the time it kind of tiptoed around the Episode 4 narrative without really bringing too much new to the table, because they were afraid of alienating too many of the old fans. And I think the problem is when you get, like, Star Wars Episode 7, 8, 9, 10, and it goes kind of the route of the Avengers, is that gradually, you know, it becomes like the James Bond movie, where there's just all these preset kind of, like, formulas that the story follows without really becoming any new. I just don't want it to become formulaic.
Yeah, I think they have a choice now. They can either keep rehashing what has happened in the past and try and bring along that old with the new generation of people understanding this, or they can pick one of the directions that they introduced into this film and run with it. I mean, you've got the Rey character, the strong woman who, you know, you can follow that angle. You can go with the stormtrooper who finally takes off his helmet. Like, they have added new layers to this, but they've added a lot, and they've added a lot at one time. So I think the next film is really going to make or break how successful this is. It's kind of like this was the base layer, and I guess we'll have to see where it goes.
Yeah, I have hope for it.
I mean, I'm more on Shalane with this. I think that any time that you reintroduce or you're introducing a series or a franchise, you kind of have to harken back to the old to just remind people why they fell in love with it in the first place. And I definitely see that they have enough to work with now where they can move forward and start to leave more of the old behind if they want to, or kind of reminisce on it if they want to. But a lot of it will be up to the viewer. It's like she said, there's so much going on.
And it's hard to talk about a phenomenon like this without it diving into something like people know this series by only knowing Spaceballs or knowing like the spoofs on it. And I mean, like, Ryan, you came in not knowing a thing about it. So it's just, it's an interesting way to, you have to dance around that, and you have to try and reconnect with these old characters without making it as cheesy as it sometimes is. And it's hard to do that. But yeah, I think it's just going to depend on the direction that they take with the next film.
There's great, great promise in the leads. And I like that they're both a woman and a person of color, because I do remember watching the old three and going like, wow, there's a ton of white men doing everything, even in the future or the past or whatever this is. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping 2 and 3 kind of are the new things, and that this episode was kind of like the way to ease the fans into the trilogy.
Right.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?